What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast, and I'm excited you joined me today because today we have a very special guest, Kyle Smith. Kyle is a CPA, a finance graduate from UT Macomb School of Business, and he's deeply committed to helping small and medium-sized businesses thrive. Kyle specializes in working with business owners to align personal and company goals and help teach businesses the financial acumen needed to hold themselves accountable to those goals, all with the mission to help businesses and business owners be more profitable. And who doesn't want to be more profitable? So come on, guys, stick around. We're going to cue the intro and we'll jump right in. Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. Kyle, thank you so much for being on the show. Excited you're here. Excited to share you with our audience. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, Michael. I'm excited.
Rock and roll. Well, for those listening to the podcast, they know I love to start with backstory. I'd love to hear how you've gotten to where you're at and the crazy winding road, the ups, the downs, the craziness. We're all going through it. We all get it. We all understand, but I think sometimes it's important for us to hear. So let's start with your backstory, how you got to here. Give us that intro, and then we'll jump into some of the cool topics that you're going to share with the audience today.
Sure. Yeah, I was just thinking back. I probably start with college, so it won't be too crazy, but graduated from Macomb School and really had no idea what I was going to do. My dad had worked in the corporate world for 20 plus years for Brinker, which is the Chili's company. And he actually decided to start his own business. So I thought that would be a perfect time to learn, you know, how I could start my own maybe someday. Sure. Kind of learn the ups and downs and maybe some mistakes that were made. And we certainly made a lot of mistakes. at the same time, I had a secret desire to be a professional poker player. So,
all right.
So I was playing poker on the side, and then also learning kind of the restaurant businesses. We started five restaurants in Austin, but really learning the entrepreneurial journey, kind of from the ground up, and at the same time playing poker on the side. We learned a lot of hard lessons on the business side. I learned a lot of hard lessons on the poker side, but it really focused me in on what kind of I wanted to do with my life and how I wanted to help people.
Right.
And so I worked on the finance side with my dad's business. And once we kind of wrapped that up and he was on to new adventures, I kind of decided I was going to go on the restaurant and brewery track. So I worked as a finance specialist and accountant for breweries and restaurants here in Austin for probably 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
Just once again, learning, not really sure if I would be able to turn it into something one day, but kind of learning the ropes. And sure. I got an opportunity to work as a director of finance at Cellus Brewery that's here in Austin. And once again, learned a lot of hard lessons on kind of what it takes to run a small business and to take it from the ground up. And when I was there, I realized I really wanted to help a lot of different people. I felt that could be a good model. And that model involves, you know, more than just one business getting the help and expertise. So I moved on to a company called Scale Factor, and they really specialize in all different industries. So I spent about 2 years, and my job was to bring in new clients or new customers wherever they came from industry-wise and kind of fit them into the Scale Factor model, which was an accounting back office and a finance firm. So once again, crash course number five in my life, learning all the new industries that I hadn't worked with before in the span of about 18 months.
Oh my gosh.
And their idea was to build a product which kind of didn't work out the way that they had hoped. But we had a lot of customers that we worked with at Scale Factor and built a relationship with and trust with. So me and my two partners kind of used that as a ramp to start Strata Cloud Accountants, which is really where we found out that our expertise is in CFO and advisory work. So we've been focusing on that for the last 3 years, really honing in on what works and what doesn't work for businesses and, you know, trying to help them maximize profit, like you said.
Wow. Well, what a journey. I mean, like it really amplifies the entrepreneurial journey for sure. You know, it's okay, we had to go do this and we had to learn that, and then we had to get good at this, and then we found out that this is where we want to be. I feel like that really just is the epitome of the direction that we all sort of head. I appreciate you sharing that with me, and I want to dig into what you came to share with the audience today. This is some really great stuff and so important. We want to talk a bit about the five must measure KPIs for maximizing profitability for these businesses and for businesses in general. So let's dig into that and let's start talking a little bit about what each of them are and share with the audience some of the things they can do to start moving the needle.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking a lot about it because I was, I'm a listener and I was listening to, you had Taylor on.
Sure.
And she was talking about the happiness kind of measure where people think I'm either happy or I'm not happy as a person. And there's no in between, when the reality is there's, you know, happiness and there's some tools that you can use to get on the happiness side more often than the not happy side. Right. And, you know, I was just thinking about that for our business. It's really the same with the business we work with. You know, people think like I have a business, it works all the time, I don't need to worry about it. Or I have a business that it's not working and I don't know what I can do. And the truth is, what we learned with the KPIs that I'm going to talk through, it's really the tools to have a happy business more often than a not happy business. There's no magical formula that all of a sudden everything is fixed in the business. Sure. But you have to address things sooner rather than later. And that's really the magic of these KPIs, because if you don't measure, you don't look at things on a monthly basis, something that's money that's left on the table, that money's left on the table every month and it's compounding every month that you're not addressing an issue. So really the idea with these, and these are super simple, but the biggest businesses in the country and the smallest businesses are all using the same basic tools and KPIs to really assess whether the business is healthy or not. And the reason that you do it is, like I said, because if you don't, you're going to leave money on the table this month, next month, the month after that, and that compounds into a lot of cash that's left on the table, and it could make the difference between the business succeeding and the business not succeeding.
But I love it. There's that quote, it's costing me $1 billion every day. I don't know how to make $1 billion.
Exactly.
So let's dig into the first one.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, these are, you know, super basic on the surface, but they ask a lot of the right questions. And that's the key when we're working with clients, is asking the right questions. So the first one is revenue. And with all these, there's five that we look at. These are a starting point. So, you know, the term necessary, but not sufficient. You can get a lot more detailed. And with our clients, we do get a lot more detailed. But these are essential. And they really are kind of the base of a CFO function of a company. And we really believe you have to have a CFO no matter what. Even if that CFO is you as the business owner, you have to do this. And really that's kind of the way that you're acting as a CFO for your business, but it has to be done. So just wanted to throw that one out there because this is why we believe it's so important. But revenue is the first one. And we have an example. We work with a client that is a professional service and they're session based. And so we looked at revenue for a particular month. It was lower than they thought. So they went to go dig in and found out that the employees that were, you know, the revenue producing employees that did the sessions, we thought that they were averaging a certain session per month. And it turned out they were averaging about 2 to 3 less than projected per week, which turned out to be about 30 or 40 grand in revenue for the month. And that was revenue that would all have gone to the bottom line. So they had a break-even month when they expected to have a 30 or 40K profitable month. So that's one example where just looking at revenue, it started to ask the question of why is this not where we think it is? And then they were able to dig in and see, hey, we have a bunch of people that are performing not to where we expected. So they went in and changed their compensation packages. So they incentivized people to do more sessions. And goes back to that example of now they've got an incentive plan that incentivizes people to produce every month. So they're not going to be leaving that money on the table month in, month out.
Wow. I love that. Very cool. Let's jump into number two.
Yeah. So gross profit percentage is one that we look at that's super important. And that really shows profitability on a unit level, meaning, you know, that's the direct cost number. So, you know, month to month, you want to look at a percentage instead of a gross dollar number for gross profit, which is basically your sales minus your direct costs. So for instance, if you're a restaurant and you have a burger, it's the ingredients for that burger make up your gross profit. And so no matter your sales level, your gross profit percentage theoretically should be the same. So that's why we look at percentage, because if you had a great revenue month, you'd expect to have more dollars, but you may not have done a good job with your gross profit.
Right.
And we had an example there. We had a client that they had a direct cost. It was a restaurant group. Their cost shot up one month. They didn't know why. We dug in and found out that there was a recipe item for their biggest selling item that had quadrupled in price. Oh. It was actually limes. Limes had quadrupled in price because there was some sort of a lime shortage
for
wherever limes come from. And so they addressed that by changing the recipe imperceptibly for the person that was, you know, having the drink in this instance, and also adjusting the cost, the price. And with those two things, they were able to save five figures a month going forward on the cost of that item.
It sounds complicated to calculate the gross profit percentage. Do you find that that's the case, or that business owners have a hard time with that?
No, and that's a great point. So first, you can get it down even if, you know, finance is not your core competency, and we really believe that's where we come in because that's where we're experts. But if you're not a finance person, you can still do this in less than 30 minutes a month, all five of them. And actually have a video, remind me, I'll provide the address that we have where you can link directly to it. And it's just for podcast listeners, but it's not complicated. The gross profit percentage is basically, you get gross profit, which is basically your sales minus your direct costs. And most business owners, if you don't know your direct costs, that's a good question there to start, because that's important to learn. But just to get, once you have that number, to get the percentage is you just take your gross profit, divide it by sales. So thank you for bringing that up, because it's a good point. All the percentage means is a percentage of your revenue. So whatever the number is for gross profit, take that and divide it by revenue, and that's your percentage. And that's what you're going to use each month, month to month, to see if you're doing a good job or not.
Love it. Love it. Let's jump right into number three here.
So we jump to the very bottom, and we have two metrics that we look at around net income, and it's net income and net income percentage. And net income is your bottom line. That's, you know, a measure of how the operations of the business are doing. So it's super important. A great example is we had a client, a hospitality group. They had negative income, but they were expecting much higher than that. So we dug in and found out that there was an item that the prior accountants had been classifying as an expense, but it was actually a liability. Kind of an accounting nuts and bolts item, but it completely changed their profit and loss and how they thought they were doing month to month when we made that adjustment. And that was huge, because then that changed their plans on how fast they could expand and what they could expect in the future. So it's really important to look at net income and ask the question of, hey, this doesn't sound right. And to your point before about, you know, it sounds complicated, and can a business owner do this? I really believe it's really a matter of keeping it as simple as possible and not throwing up your hands. So if all you can measure is revenue one month, start there. If all you can look at is bottom line net income 1 month, start there. But just looking at that, it's really asking the questions, and then you can start digging and, you know, have somebody that is an expert. If you have somebody on staff who's the bookkeeper or accountant, take a look at it. If you are outsourcing it, ask them to look at it, ask those questions. And if it's you, you know, go look at it yourself and use the resources that we would have, for instance, on our website and improve. But you've got to look at it and you've got to ask the questions.
I love that. I love that. So what's the difference between finding out your net income and your net income percentage, and why the distinction?
Yeah, great point. So one, the calculation is just taking net income, dividing it by sales. And so I gave an example of why net income is important. Net income percentage is important. I got an example for this that is pretty telling. So we had a professional services firm. They had record profit in terms of dollars, but the percentage of the net income compared to the sales was lower than the previous year. So if you're a business owner, you might feel great because, hey, I've got a record number of money in the bank, or at least record net income. But if we dug deeper and looked at the percentage, basically their salary labor had gone up as a percentage of their sales, and also their rent occupancy costs had gone up. And if they hadn't addressed that and just said, hey, we made record dollars, they would have gone on and not addressed occupancy costs, which they end up restructuring the rental agreement with their with their landlord. And they changed their salary structure as well. So like the other company we work with, they made a more incentive-based plan that was more based on how you performed. And they were able to lower base salaries with that and really invest people in the business. So two things that they did, even though they had a good month, it's asking that question, did you really have a good month compared to how much you sold? That's why looking at a percentage is important than compared to just looking at the net income.
I love that. And it's those things that can creep up on you over the course of a couple of years and then come back to bite you if you're not paying attention to it.
And that's exactly. And it can be, depending on the size of the firm, it could be seven figures over the span of years.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Okay, that's great. Let's jump into the next one and dig in to that.
Yeah, so this one's the most interesting, and it's probably the most complicated to calculate, but it's the most important, and it really, you don't need to be a finance expert to look at it, and it's net cash flow. And QuickBooks, for instance, and QuickBooks Online, it's got a stock report for cash flow. So if you wanted to, you could go in for your business. If you were using QuickBooks, you look at net income, and then you could look at net cash flow. And if there's a big discrepancy there, that's going to ask the question that you need to ask of, hey, maybe we had a very profitable month, but net cash flow is negative. Why is that? And then you could look and see why, or vice versa. There was a company, we actually didn't work with them, but they were looking to get a loan for the bank. And the loan would, the bank didn't give them the money, and they didn't understand why, because they had cash in the bank and the cash was growing month to month. But when the bank asked for the financials, they saw that the business wasn't profitable, at least for the last few months. And, the business owner wasn't looking at the financials and was pretty surprised by it. It turned out what happened is they were just building up a payables balance. So they weren't paying their vendors over month to month. And so the cash was remaining in their bank account. The business owner thought they were doing great, or at least doing okay. But in reality, they were just building up amounts due to vendors. So the bank was saying, I don't want to give money to a company that's going to turn around and have to pay a bunch of people off before they can use it. So that's a great example, because if they were looking at net income and looking at net cash flow, they would have seen net cash flow was positive or maybe break even, but the net income would have been negative. And then they could have looked and done some more research and found out that, hey, our payables balance is growing like crazy. But even if you can't do that, it's looking at it and asking that question. And there's lots of resources to be able to find the answer.
I love that. You know, it's so challenging, I think, for business owners, because there's so many things that are needing their attention. And for most business owners, regardless of the size of the business, they didn't get into business to run the business. They got into business because they like to do the thing that they are, that they started the business around. And I see it so often that they just, they find their path or find their way to us, and we talk to them and we find out that, holy cow, they've lost their spark because they're just inundated with things like the finances and the tech and taxes and, you know, all of the other things. And they just are thinking, oh my gosh, like, I just wanted to do the thing that I signed up for. So tell us a little bit more about what you guys can do to start to alleviate that. I mean, clearly, you know your deal. And for a lot of small businesses, if you're listening out there, these five, like, I know you're thinking, holy cow, maybe you do some of them, but do you do all five of them? Do you have it all down? Do you know your numbers? This is where Kyle can step in. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about what you guys do and how you can help us with these five KPIs.
Yeah. Yep. No, exactly like you said. And we're always big believers and say that you have to do the five, you know, no matter who you are, like I said, but that's a starting point for us. So we'll come in and we work on that side, which is more the financial strategic side. We also do process reviews on the accounting side, because you can't make decisions for the business if the numbers themselves aren't accurate. Right. So a lot of times we're going in, making sure that those numbers are accurate so we can start making the right decisions. Then we can go in and start looking at the numbers month to month, starting to do that analysis. And to do that KPI analysis, if you don't have a budget or a forecast, you can do it on prior year data or prior month data. But we go in and start building dynamic forecasts, measuring against what we expect for the business, working with the business owner to say, hey, what are you thinking for this year? What are your expansion plans? And we'll make three-way forecasts that include cash flow. So if a business is looking to expand, not only will we make a P&L, but we'll say, how does this affect cash flow? And how is your expansion going to affect cash flow? And do you have enough money in the bank to fund the expansion? We just are working with a client now where they used investors for a prior expansion. Now we did the math and we did a three-year projection and found out that there's a good chance, using a couple other different instruments like a line of credit, that they can self-finance. And that means their money they would be paying out to investors, they get to keep into the business and keep for themselves. Wow. And it actually amounted to close to $5 million over a 10-year span. So that's one example on their strategic side, helping businesses out. And we also do stuff when we find the things that we talked about with the KPIs, where if we find that rent is, you know, too high, or there's costs that seem like they're getting out of control, we actually will do vendor negotiations and work with landlords as well to help kind of minimize costs there, restructure, and have a lot of success. And that's a direct way that we can help businesses save money, because if we're preaching, hey, you know, you need to be cost conscious, for instance, except pay us, that doesn't make a lot of sense unless we can show that return on investment either directly or indirectly. So there's a lot of direct ways, like I said, that we show that return on investment, not to mention the indirect way, like doing the analysis to show the millions that could have been saved with that financing. So that's just a couple examples of the ways that we help not leave money on the table.
I think it's easy to get caught up in the idea that you got to be at a certain place or so far along on their journey before they could use you and your services. How true is that? I mean, how much in order do they need to have their stuff prior to bringing you guys on?
Yeah. So we use a couple of rules of thumb, but we also have various packages. So we can work with businesses that are less than $1 million. And then obviously we work with businesses up through, you know, 10, 20 million plus. So it really depends, but sooner rather than later, because like I said, we believe we're, you know, 100x on our investment in what we do, and how we can help the business, in a lot of cases. So, if you don't think you can, it's still worth reaching out. I think we're the best, obviously, at what we do, but I really encourage people to reach out to a finance professional because the return on investment is incredible, no matter what size of the business. And in our case, and I know there's, you know, other people as well, but in our case, we tailor kind of our packages to the size of the business and what's going to work for that business owner and where we can be most valuable.
Sure. That's amazing. How can people find you and get in touch and maybe watch that video you were talking about?
Sure. So our website is stratacloudaccountants.com. And we have a special landing page that's up now. So stratacloudaccountants.com/choreography. And that is going to link to the KPIs that we talked about. So there's a lot more detail. We have a white paper on that. And then I also have a Excel doc. I go through an example company in QuickBooks and go through those five KPIs and show how you can do it in less than 30 minutes a month.
That is amazing. What a great resource. Guys, you got to take advantage of this. We'll put the link in the description for those of you listening. Those of you watching saw it on the screen. And you guys got to go check it out and see what you can do. These are things that you shouldn't ignore, just like Kyle said, and I said earlier, this stuff can come back to bite you and you could be otherwise headed in a good direction. And if with a few tweaks here and there, you can get yourself in order and with some help from Kyle and a team that's great and proficient like theirs, they can help you really excel to the next level. So Kyle, thank you so much for being here today and joining us on the show. I can't let you leave without leaving us with some sage words of wisdom.
Don't let perfection be the enemy of progress.
I love it. I love it. That's fabulous. You got to take that one to the bank, guys. This is awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Kyle. All of you listening, it is so important that you keep choreographing your business, all elements, the finances included. I know sometimes you all play the three-year-old game. You know what that is? It's called hide and seek. You close your eyes while sitting in the middle of the room and pretend that it's not there and nobody can see you, but it's there. And your finances, they're there. They're not going away. So don't play the three-year-old hide and seek game. Keep choreographing your businesses and keep working on your finances. Check out Kyle and his stuff, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.